The parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' Then the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he ever find faith on the earth?'"
Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for how you have ministered to us already this morning. And we pray now that you would just help our ears to be open, help us to focus in on the things that you want to say to us through this part of Scripture. We pray for David that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit. God, would you help him tremendously now? And as we listen, we pray that you would stir faith in us afresh or for the very first time, and that we would leave here changed and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Johnny and Jemima. And what a joy to be in the presence of God together. It's been such a blessing this morning, just worshiping God. And as we were singing that song and just dwelling, I was just struck by the goodness of God, who gives his Spirit to us, who gives his word and his presence. And folks, as we just gather together this Sunday as well, it's such a joy to see you. I've been away, and it's always a joy to come back and just see people again. And just want to say, love you guys. And it's a real privilege to worship together and serve the Lord together. And if you're watching online, may God be with you and blessing you as well. Well, we're looking at our last part of our series on Secrets of the Kingdom this Sunday morning. We've been in a summer series looking at some of the kind of the principles in Jesus' teaching that can help us live fruitful and thriving lives and relationships. We've thought about some great themes like grace and financial wisdom and forgiveness. And so if you missed some of those, do look back over on YouTube and catch some of those. And this week, as we anticipate starting at the beginning of September, our week of prayer and fasting, we are thinking about the theme of prayer. You know, I love how some of the parables have a little kind of intro to them, or a kind of a line kind of explaining the main theme. And this one does that right at the beginning in verse 1. Jesus says this: he told his disciples this parable to show them that they should pray, that they should always pray and not give up. Have you ever been tempted to give up praying? Or maybe even you found yourself giving up praying. I know sometimes I have. I know that I've been challenged afresh as I've come to this passage and anticipate our prayer week, just thinking about some of those things that I maybe have got out the habit of praying for so regularly. I love that this parable starts like this because it's so real. The parables deal with real earthy issues. They deal with the practical challenges of being a real disciple in the real world, where God's timing is sometimes different from our timing, where we wrestle with prayer because sometimes things aren't answered in the way or the time we would like. And so we kind of at times give up. Maybe even just give up praying, full stop. I spoke to someone this week, in fact, yesterday, and they asked me, what was I preaching on? I told them, and they said, that's amazing. They said they'd written in their prayer journal the previous night, "God, I don't know why you don't answer this prayer. I don't understand it. I'm going to give up praying." And since they'd written that 24 hours previously, they said I was the third thing that had reminded them to not give up. Just the fact that I was going to preach on this was a reminder for them that God had somehow seen that written down in their prayer journal and thought, don't give up praying. If you find yourself tempted to give up, if you're struggling with prayer, maybe you've struggled over the summer, this parable is for you and I. This parable is a parable to inspire us and help us as we come into the new term. You know, I'm so aware that as we look at this parable, we can often miss the kind of context at which it comes in. And if you look back in your Bibles into Luke chapter 17, you see that Jesus actually teaches this parable after he's taught them about the fact that he's gonna go away and then he's gonna come back. He's been talking about the return of Christ, a theme that we were thinking about in our series on the Creed earlier on in the summer. And when he's speaking this parable, he actually has that in mind because he refers to it at the end. In fact, I love this quote from J.C. Ryle. He's a great commentator on the Gospels, particularly, and you can get some of his commentaries, though. It's written some time ago. I still find them so helpful and relevant. And this is what he writes about commenting on this parable that we've just read. He says this: it is prayer without fainting during the long and weary interval between the first and second advents, or the first and second coming of Christ, which Jesus is urging his disciples to keep up. In that interval, we ourselves are standing. We're in that time. This is the point we're in. The subject, therefore, is one which ought to possess a special interest in our eyes. And that time between Jesus' first coming and second coming has some wonderful things. We can look back to the cross, look back to the resurrection, but we also know it's a time of challenge, of persecution, of kind of struggle with temptation, of all kinds of difficulties. And that's why we need to hear Jesus' words this morning. In fact, he ends the parable like this: when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Think about that for a moment. Jesus could return anytime, even this afternoon. We don't know when he's coming back. If he were to come back today or tomorrow, would he find faith in our lives? Would he find faith that is demonstrated this past week? Would there be signs of faith? What are signs of faith? What is faith and what does it look like? Well, the writer to the Hebrews says this: faith is being confident of what we hope for and having assurance about what we do not see. So it's kind of, it's forward looking and it's looking at things that are invisible. It's seeing things maybe that we hear of in God's word that we haven't seen and believing them, that God exists, that Jesus is alive, that he's rose from the dead, that he's coming back. It's having assurance of those things. And so what are the signs of faith and how does that connect with this parable about persistence in prayer? Well, because prayer is a key sign of faith. Prayer is a key sign of faith. Persistent prayer. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews goes on and says this. He says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, maybe you could read this with me, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, when we pray, we believe that God exists and we're seeking him, and we believe that he rewards us with that, that there's things that he wants to give to us and do for us. And so as we look at this passage, I want to just start with asking this question: what are you asking for? What are you asking God for? Jesus, later in Luke 18, he's going to ask a blind beggar, he's going to say, what do you want me to do for you? As the beggar calls out to Jesus, what do you want God to do for you? What are you asking for? What have you maybe been asking for a while? What do you need to keep asking for? Well, Jesus tells us a simple story. And in the story, there are two characters. There's a judge who we're told twice. Look with me in verse 2. It said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And that gets kind of repeated later on. He's basically a rubbish judge. This judge is a bad judge, or as Jesus later refers to him, an unjust judge. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it, to have an unjust judge? But he's the first character in the story. And the second character we read, it says, and there was in verse 3 a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. So there are these two characters, and the plot is quite simple. The plot is that she asks the judge for justice against her adversary. She asks, and he refuses. And so in verse 4, for some time, she kept asking, and he refused. And so she keeps asking, and she still refused. It's a really simple plot. And then she keeps asking, and we then get this little soliloquy from the unjust judge. And this soliloquy, this kind of him talking to himself, is for our benefit. It's a story that Jesus told, and this is what he says to himself. He says, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming, or some translations say attack me, or others say give me a black eye. Or they're obviously struggling to think how to translate this, but the sense is obvious. It's like wearing him down. I love the way the ESP puts it. Beats me down with her constant coming. You know, it's like he's knocking on her door. She's knocking on his door. He's just keeping on doing it, you know? Some of you have got a wooden pew next to you. Can you just join me a little bit in just doing that on the back of your pew there, like that? Yeah. Just keeps doing it. Okay, stop for a while. Oh, and then we start again. Oh, I'm back again. I'm knocking on my door. You know, you kind of, it's kind of, imagine someone doing that on your front door or your office door. Oh, no, go away. No, okay, I'm back. Boom, boom. Oh, come on. That is what's going on here. She's persistent in asking. And so what happens? The unjust judge gives her justice. Why? Because she keeps asking. So what are you asking for? What do you keep asking for? You know, I think sometimes we kind of see story like this, and sometimes we can come to it in two different ways. Sometimes we hear that question, what do we keep asking for? And actually we think, well, there's nothing I keep asking for. I'm not really aware of any big needs in my life. I think actually a lot of times at the moment people are aware of their needs, and I'll come to that in a moment, but I think sometimes we can think, well, everything seems all right. And the widow maybe is a reminder, the widow is a picture here of someone in need. And widows were people who once said lost their spouse. They didn't have anyone to kind of fend for them or fight for them in the same way or provide for them. And so this widow is very aware of her need, and she even has an adversary. And brothers and sisters, I want to say that often if we're to grow in prayer, we need to first grow in awareness of our need. Or as I love this book, A Praying Life by Paul Miller. If you've not had a chance to read this, I really recommend it. Great book. He has a chapter in it on learning to be helpless. He says prayer and helplessness are so linked, and that we need to learn that in of ourselves, we actually... we're far more needy than we realize. And I want to just say, brothers and sisters, we have an adversary. We have one who doesn't fight clean and obey the kind of conventions of, you know, the Human Rights Convention. He will attack us and condemn us and tempt us. He is looking to destroy your faith. Today he's looking to destroy your faith. Tomorrow he will be. And the day after, he is committed to trying to destroy our faith, to keep us from prayer. We have an adversary, and we need help. We need help in our lives to live for God, to love him, to love others. And maybe sometimes we don't think we're so much in need because we've caught up in our own little world rather than trying to join God in his great work of bringing hope and love and light to places and people who need it. But I think actually what can also happen is that for many of us, we're in times when we are aware of our need. I know many of you, and I know that there are things that you're struggling with, things that you're praying for, things that you find in those that you know and love, whether it's family members or others in the church, and you're burdened and concerned, and you know you need help. You know that we need God's strength, but maybe you've become weary in asking. Maybe there's a relative, family member, who you've been praying and praying for a breakthrough and it hasn't come. Maybe there's a person in the church and you've been praying for them and you just haven't seen the change you'd love to see. Maybe it's a work situation or provision and you're thinking, God, like the person I was talking to yesterday, God, I did that for a while, but nothing happened. Maybe it's a friend who you would love to see come to faith. I've got friends like that. Friends that I've prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. And this time has been a reminder to not stop praying. Jesus says, don't give up praying. You know, I found this really, again, helpful that J.C. Ryle wrote in his commentary. He says, prayer is the very life breath of true Christianity. In prayer, it begins. Prayer is, here it flourishes, here it decays. Prayer is one of the first evidences of conversion, but neglect of prayer is the sure road to a fall. Do we ever feel a secret inclination to hurry our prayers or shorten our prayers? No, I can relate to that. Or become careless about our prayers or omit our prayers altogether? Let us be sure when we do that it is a direct temptation from the devil. Let us arm ourselves with this parable. And while we live, whatever we make time for, let us make time for prayer. Do I have an amen? Amen. Let us make time for prayer. You and I get to ask the maker of heaven and earth for anything. You and I get to talk to the God who is able. We get to talk to one who is good, as we're going to be thinking about more in a moment. So I want to ask this morning, what are you asking for? What are you asking for? And will you keep asking? As we go into this prayer week, will you make time to pray? We're going to, from the 3rd of September to the 10th of September, is going to be a prayer of a week of prayer and fasting on the Sunday morning. We're going to have two gatherings, one here and one actually up at King's School in Hangleton. So you can go to either one, whichever's closest, and both are going to be pressing into prayer and some ways we can be praying. And then in the evening on Sunday night, we're going to have a prayer time here in person from 6 till 7. And then during the week in the mornings at 7 till 7:30, all this is information's on the website. We'll be having an early morning Zoom prayer time. And then on the Wednesday night, I particularly want to draw your attention to that. We're going to have a longer time of just dwelling in God's presence, starting at 8 o'clock, pressing into listening to him. And there'll be some other online prayer times as well. So do look at what's there and do be praying. And I want to encourage you in your fasting. I find fasting helps me in this kind of keep in praying because my tummy grumbles and I remember, oh yeah, I'm longing for to do something. I'm hungry for more of God and I'm hungry for him to work in some way. I'm kind of groaning with my stomach. And so if you've never fasted before, fasting's often something that in the Bible is associated with not eating. But if for any medical reasons, and sometimes this is the case, you do need to eat, then please do eat and fast from something else, maybe TV or social media or something like that. But during that week, you could maybe miss every lunch and just say, right, I'm going to press into prayer in that way. Or maybe it's a breakfast, or maybe it's a whole day thing. You're going to go on that Wednesday, maybe say, I'm going to take that as a day of prayer and fasting, and I'm going to skip meals that day. I do encourage you, if you are skipping meals, keep drinking. That can really help you, particularly when the weather's warm. What could you do next week from the 3rd to the 10th of September to really press into prayer? One of the reasons we have times to pray together is I am helped by praying with others. It helps me to pray when I join with others, whether online or in person. It helps me pray. And so, brothers and sisters, Jesus is teaching us to pray and not give up. Don't give up praying. If you've been part of prayer weeks at Holland Road for many years, don't stop this time. Come and engage again in maybe a fresh way. Maybe this will be your first prayer week at Holland Road. Praise God for new people who've been connecting with us recently. I'd love you. Join with us and let's pray together. So what are you asking God for? But this parable has something kind of odd in it. If we're like the persistent widow, we're to be like that. You've got to then start thinking, well, what about this unjust judge? Is God like the unjust judge? That's the question, isn't it? You know, how does that work? And so that leads to the second thing I want us to think about this morning as we try and be those who persistently, kind of as it were, are knocking, not on the door of an unjust judge, but on God's door. What is that that we think God is like? Who's the one behind the door, as it were? So A.W. Tozer, a great writer, says this in a wonderful book called The Knowledge of the Holy, all about what God is like. And he says this: what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So I wonder what you think God is like. What is the God who you ask and knock on his door? What is he like? Is God like the unjust judge? And Jesus' answer is kind of an emphatic no. If you go on in this parable, he says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. The whole point of Jesus' parable is that this kind of sense of that the unjust judge does it, how much more God? God, the one who cares for you and I. God, the one who is our heavenly Father, who is good and loving. And I don't know if you notice here, I was really struck by this. I've not really thought about it much in this parable before. But you see the way Jesus describes us in God's kind of eyes. He says, verse 7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Let that sink in for a moment. You and I are his chosen ones. I mean, what a wonderful little expression. It reminds me of when the Apostle Paul writes, he says, as God's chosen, holy, and dearly loved children, you know, we're those that God has kind of adopted into his family. And I don't have time to press into the whole kind of theme of election, which you can kind of see through scripture, the sense of God choosing by his grace. But what I want to do is just say here, you know, it's like when a child is adopted, you know that there's this amazing care, this sense that God has said, look, this is my chosen one. It's a picture of endearment. And you and I are loved by a God who is good, by a Father who cares for us. Yes, he's a judge. We'll come more to that, but maybe the most helpful picture that Jesus teaches us of prayer in the Bible is that he teaches us that God is our Father and he prays to a Father. And he says even earlier on in Luke 11, in this wonderful passage on prayer, with a parable on prayer, which again has a kind of audacity of a guy who's knocking on a door. And he says, ask and seek and knock and keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. And then he tells this story. He says, look, fathers, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And so, brothers and sisters, we have this wonderful, good Father. And that dynamic helps me in my praying. Because I've got kids. And I've seen them kind of grow up at different stages and ask for different things. And you know, sometimes kids ask for the things that are not good for them, like, you know, the carving knives or the sharp knives. And you have to say, no, that's not good. You know, if a kid asks for a flamethrower, it's very clear the father would say no, because they care for the child. But, you know, sometimes the kids ask for something which is actually okay, but it's just not the right time. Like, you know, maybe for a car or for something that's a bit more kind of grown up, and you have to say, wait, Not yet. It's not a no never, it's a not yet. And that time might be a long wait. I remember, Joan, I hope it's okay to share this. There was one time in youth when the girls had just started joining the youth group, and Jonah was quite young, and the youth were doing a really fun activity. They were doing laser tag in here with kind of, toy laser guns. And Lila told Jonah what they were up to, and Jonah was just old enough to think that this was the most exciting thing ever. And so Lila said, well, don't worry, when you're in the youth, you can go along to it. But Jonah was like kind of 4 or 5 at this age. So this was like half of his life again. In fact, he could barely remember, you know, more than a year. And so this is like seemed decades away. And yet, actually, sometimes we're told to wait. And it can seem like a long time, but in God's time, it's still good. Is there something that maybe you're praying for and God's just saying, wait? He's a good father. But then there are also times when we ask for things and maybe we're asking and God is a bit like a good father wanting to see, do you really want that? Is that something you're interested in today, or is that something you really want? And I know I've done that time, said, well, this is interesting. They keep asking for this. I love this child. I want to give this to them. And then there are other things where I'm going to give it to them almost whether they ask for it or not because I care for them. But there's something about them asking which is about the interaction. So I want us to think, as we think what God is like we were praying and worshiping, think of his goodness, this good father who delights to give you good gifts. I don't know if you, I don't know what your father was like. But maybe whatever he was like, think of a father you know who you think, that's a good father who wants to give good gifts. And kind of amp that up in spades. God is a father who loves to give good gifts to his children. You know, as we think about what God is like, that's where this whole idea of faith comes in again, which Jesus ends the psalm, because what we believe about God is our faith. And you know, when we don't pray, when we don't make time for prayer, what we're doing by that is we're basically saying we don't believe that God hears us when we pray or can work when we pray or really cares for us enough in our praying. It's a sign of our unbelief. And so I've this week been coming again and saying, God, I want my life to be a life of faith. I want to repent from unbelief that stops me praying. And I want to repent and believe again and say, God, I know you're a good father. And actually, even this morning, I just got a message from someone, just something I'd been praying for, and God just wonderfully was saying, here, reminding me that when I do pray, and I've been praying for that for quite a while, that God does come and answer prayer. He is at work in the lives of those we pray for, though we don't always see it in the time frame we would like. You know, Jesus says, come, will not God grant justice for those who cry out day and night? And here, brothers and sisters, maybe is where we can just end. Because when we cry out for justice, it's kind of humbling because, yes, we're in a battle with our enemy, the father of lies, the accuser. But actually what we need in that battle is not just justice, we need mercy. And wonderfully, we can look back with eyes of faith to the cross, to this place where Jesus paid for my sin and yours, where he dealt with our foes so that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because he died on the cross. Justice and mercy meeting together. Jesus says you can confess your sins and he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we can hold on to with faith. So we look back to the justice that we see on the cross, and that gives us hope as we cry out for justice and mercy in our lives. But also we look forward with faith. The justice in our world that we long for when we open up the newspapers, when we see this past week churches in Pakistan being burnt down, when we hear maybe those who are at satellites, I know you had people telling stories from North Korea. You know, when we see what's going on in the world and we long for justice, we know that ultimately justice will come when Christ returns. That is our hope. That is our longing, that Jesus Christ will come back and make everything new, that justice will ultimately be done. And so that is why one of the last prayers, the last prayer in the Bible, is this simple prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." It's been a prayer of the church for centuries. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're longing for your appearing. Come and make everything new. The persecuted church, our brothers and sisters around the world who are in jail for their faith or are struggling with oppression and injustice, they're longing for Christ's return. You and I, as we're partners with them in the Lord's work, we cry out to God for them when we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." As we pray for our city, for transformation, we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." Are you praying and longing for and looking forward to the return of Christ? Do you know that for the transformation of our world, that is what is needed above all else? And are you speeding that day by praying for the spread of the gospel, for people to come to know the good news that Christ died for our sins, that he rose again, and that one day he's coming back and he's going to make everything new? When the Son of Man comes, and he is coming, will he find faith on the earth? It's like a surprise at the end of the parable, a sting in the tail, like Jesus often does, a kind of twist of that was the persistent widow, but are they people going to be trusting? Jesus said, because of the increase of wickedness, as his return approaches, the love of many will grow cold. Brothers and sisters, let us not be like that. Let us be those who allow faith afresh to be stirred, who even today say, "Yes, Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Help me make time to pray. Help me keep asking for my neighbors, my friends, in my own life, that, Lord Jesus, I would grow more and more like you, that I would be ready for your return. Come, Lord Jesus." Shall we pray? Let's bow our heads, and the band are going to come up as well. Lord Jesus, we invite you, come and search our hearts. Lord, forgive our unbelief. Lord, where we've got weary, given up praying. Lord, where we've not made time for prayer. Lord, we repent of our unbelief and we turn in faith to you, King Jesus, our Savior. The one who is alive and reigns, the one who's never stopped praying for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're our great intercessor. Jesus, we believe in you. Why not just say that again in your heart? Right now, Jesus, I believe in you. Lord, help me pray. Help us pray. Lord, pour out your Spirit that we would see afresh the goodness of our Father. His power to help us. That we would cry out day and night, yes, Lord, that we'd be those that are knocking on your door. Help us, Lord, to keep praying. Maybe even just now in the stillness, there might be things, people, situations that you want to bring to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, come and help those we know and love who need your help. Lord, come and change us to be those that grow more and more in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Help us to be a church growing in faith, hope, and love, we pray. Lord, help us in this prayer week. Help us in our praying. And Lord, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, we long for your appearing. And we boldly approach your throne of grace even now as we keep worshiping and praying. Lord, come, we pray by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.